Okay, so we're going to talk about the prodigal son today. And Daryl said, oh, I told him I was speaking on the prodigal son. He said, that's fine, I'll take it off my list, but don't mess it up. So I said, okay, no pressure. But prodigal son, we're going to take kind of a different view and a different approach than what most people, how they see it written. It's actually, I'm so impressed by Jesus. I don't think there was one wasted word out of his mouth. He just, every word meant something. And this parable, as you see, is when we're going to break it down, every word meant something when you look at the bigger picture of it instead of just a guy that took off and ran away and squandered the money and dad loves him again. So before we do that, let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Whew. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this beautiful, gorgeous Whidbey Island day, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit will come into this house, fill our hearts, and be with us. Lord, let your word be spoken today, and nothing but your word. Lord, I pray everybody walks away with new information and insight into your magical words that you spoke in these days. And we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's precious, beautiful, holy name. Amen. Okay, so I figured I would go old school and actually read it. Yeah, these are readers. Shaky. Okay. Parable of the lost son. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share. This is the New Language Translation, by the way. Just because it's kind of easier on the ears than thy, thee, thou. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your inheritance now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons, plural. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger? I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he's still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embracing him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the fatted calf we have been fattening for most celebrating with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. So meanwhile, the older son, he was in the field working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants, what is going on? He says, your brother is back. He was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry, and he wouldn't go in. Father came out and began and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you have told me to. And all that time, you never gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, I lost my place because that gets me. When your son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf? His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day for your brother. He says, your son, father says, your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So, you guys are all family. I don't know why I get so shaky when I get up here. It's a beautiful tale, you know, and it proves a lesson. It gives us a lesson. The son says, "Dad, I'm done. Give me my inheritance. I'm out." And then, you know, you can see the representative of a prodigal son, as in on earth, like who would be a prodigal son? Like I myself was a prodigal son. I ran away when I was 16. And I blamed everybody else in the world for my mistakes until I learned, hey, you're the one in control of your life, so take control of it and do that. And so I did come home in a roundabout way. But then my father, you know, it started to accept me back when I started going to school again and doing things I was supposed to be doing. And that's for earthly reasons. And you can also see the parable of us and our mistakes with the father, so which is huge. But there's a bigger picture happening here. So I'm going to go back to that. And I want to start at, this is Luke 15. The prodigal son is 11. But it starts with the parable of the lost sheep at 15. But I think what's most important here is setting the stage of what's happening with Jesus right now. So it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So, you know, koinonia and stuff like that. We have fellowship and eating is very important, not only for this church, but in religion. You know, Jesus says, come in, I will sup with you. Meals are a big deal. Sharing food together and talking and communicating with one another was a big deal. And so here it's Jesus is with the tax collectors and sinners. And it says the Pharisees are watching, right? So one of the reasons that the tax collectors and the sinners, why they liked Jesus, is because Jesus was talking to them. The Pharisees were just snubbing their nose at these people. Oh, you are filth of the world. Get away from us. We are holy. We are clean. We don't want you in our presence. And Jesus Christ is like, you guys aren't getting it. These are the people. I need to save these people. And so he comes in, and of course he sits down to their level and eats with them. And that's how important it is. So it makes the Pharisees really mad. So I'm going to kind of set the table here. So picture this. Jesus is likely in a dusty Galilean village or along the road, surrounded by a mixed crowd. Tax collectors and obvious sinners are pressed in close, hanging on his every word, while Pharisees and scribes stand off to the side, arms crossed, muttering about him eating with those people. He's telling his stories to defend his welcome of the lost. As he paints the scene of a father spotting his ragged pig stinking son from afar off and then running, robes hitched up, dignity tossed aside, you would have heard gasps. Jewish men didn't run. It was shameful. The crowd would have been stunned, silent at first, then buzzing because the father isn't acting like any respectable dad. He's taking the shame on himself to reach his boy before the village could reject him. The religious types probably fuming as the story lands right in the middle with the older brother. The whole thing would have felt electric, uncomfortable, and full of hope all at once. So, I mean, imagine that scene. You got the Pharisees ticked off and everything else going on, but he's telling that story. It talks about the prodigal son. It should have been worded a man that had two sons. So what you don't see there is you also have the angry brother, right? The one that was obeying all the laws, obeying all that. Does that sound like maybe the Pharisees, that side of things? So Jesus, not only, everybody picks up on the sinner that came back, but he's also, he's making the Pharisees mad. And he's saying, look, you guys are sinning just as much as these guys are sinning. So we'll go back through it, and I'm just going to kind of break it down into little parts. See, do I have my water? Yes, I do. Okay. So again, I'm using the New Living Translation. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them a story. So everybody's gathered around. A man had two sons. So it emphasizes, he even says it. We've always focused on the sinner, but man has two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. That would have been a slap in the face. Dad, I don't care about you. I wish you were dead so I had my money now. So why don't you just give it to me so I can get out of here? So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Okay, so in Jewish culture, the oldest son would get 2/3 of the estate and everything, and then all the other siblings would split the 1/3 amongst themselves. So it says he split it at that point amongst his sons. So the father is given away everything, despite being insulted, without arguing, without doing anything, he's given it away to both his sons. So now his other son, the son that's mad, everything else is his. Nothing is the father's. So it would have been a complete insult, but he didn't say anything and he let his son go. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, his money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. 15. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields feeding pigs. You know how the Jewish people feel about pigs and unclean things, and here he is wallowing in the mud feeding them. People would have been gasping. That would have been the lowest and lowest of lows. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. Even the slop that he was feeding the pigs, he was so hungry he would have ate that. But no one gave him anything. So I want to also start by going back to preface one of the earlier, to set the scene for this, is there's actually 3 parables told, and I think it's pretty important. So he started out with the lost sheep. You guys, Jesus leaves the 99 to go find the one, right? So Jesus is telling this parable, and he's saying, if there were 100 of you, and one of you went astray, I will go find that one. That one is precious to me. That's the lost sheep. And I think at one point or another, we've all been the lost sheep in our life. And he will come and find you and love you. The next story he tells is a parable about 10 coins, shows up missing, and the lady puts on her lantern at night and goes and finds the one. So now he's saying, out of 10, I will go find one. So out of 100, I will go find one. Out of 10, I will go find one. 2 brothers, one on one, and I think this is where he knocks it out of the park, and what I believe, he says, I will go find them both. You listen to this story, it ends on a cliffhanger. It doesn't say what the brother did after that. He said he didn't agree to come in the house, and he says, come on, your other brother's found, come in. It doesn't say what he did, if he did come in or didn't. And so, I mean, he leaves it that way, so it makes you think. So he's on his the third parable is the one with the 2 sons. Okay, so now it says, when he finally came to his senses, good choice of words, he said to himself, at home even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and I here am dying of hunger. I will go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both you and heaven. How many times have we sinned against our Father in heaven? But he's blending that line between, this is a story about an earthly connection, but a fatherly heavenly connection. So, you know, he was obviously, sounds like he's repeating this, and he's repenting. So he realizes how bad he messed up, and he's going to go home to his father. So he says, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. It's like, I understand. I messed up so bad. I don't even deserve to be your son. How many times can I look up there and go, I don't deserve to be your son? And yet he says, you are my son. But he must have been rehearsing this. This is what I'm going to tell Dad the whole way home. So this is because you see it repeated twice in the story. So this time he's got to be walking home, right? The intent, I mean, he's got to be tense, and he's going to go see his father, and hopefully he just takes him back as a servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Our father is looking for us. He's looking for us continuously, never ceasing. In everything we do, he is waiting for us to come home. He's waiting for us to be home. And while still way off, his father says, saw him. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him and kissed him. So Jewish tradition, when you were of status, you didn't run. It was disgraceful to see you run. There would be no reason to run. Matter of fact, you kind of walked with a little swagger on. But no, so here the dad is. Not only that, it would have been disgraceful. People would have been like, why is the father, this guy, running to his son? Then he embraces him. He must have smelled like pig filth. And he doesn't care. He embraces him and kisses him. I can't even explain how amazing that is, that our Father has that much love for us, that he would run after us, find us, and leave the 99 for the one. Anyways, his son said to him, so now after everything he's rehearsed, now he's in front of the Father. He says, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servant, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his fingers and sandals for his feet. Now, the father ran. So there's this thing kind of called kasaza. I'm just going to throw it out there. Another reason the father may have been running was there was a Jewish tradition. Says it wasn't used a lot. But what it was basically if somebody had married a different level of bride, that was unapproved of or something in that nature. And also when inheritance has been squandered and families have been shamed, that there was this kasaza. Basically is the people of the village would try to run out. They would have pots and they would run out there and smash the pots on the ground and forbid the person from coming in. It was a form of you are exiled, you are disgraced. So just throwing that out there, that this may have been another reason the father was running, because he saw his son, and he wanted to get to him before the villagers got to him, and that's why he says, quick, tells his, go bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, because he wanted his son, and he wanted to bring him home. So, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead, and he is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. But it's interesting, it says it twice in this, is once was dead, and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what's going on? He said, your brother is back. He was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. But the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. Now think about the Pharisees and the judging and what they were looking at Jesus. Or is this kind of making... So the Pharisees are sitting there listening to him tell the parable to these guys. But this is... Pharisees are... They're getting their own dish of tea, right? So... The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me over a young goat for a feast with my friends. So here he is saying that, you know, I've been the good boy. I've done all the things right. How many people in our Christian walk, you know, have that I'm a good Christian. I do the good things. I'm going to church every Sunday. And Jesus is like, yeah, but you're missing the point. The point is that we're all sinners. And even though the Pharisees are sitting there and the sinners are over there, there's an equal playing field. Now, we pick on Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, sinners, and stuff like that. We pick on them. But it's equally important that Jesus Christ want them too. You know, so there's not a lot nice written about them in the book. But Jesus wanted them to. So it wasn't about just the sinners. He wanted everybody's eyes to be open, everybody to come home, all his lost sheep to come home. All these years, never once refused to do a single thing you told me, and all the time you never gave me even one goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back, So he turns around and looks at his dad and he says, when this son of yours, not brother, when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you sell. Now, squandering your money on prostitutes. He doesn't know what his brother was doing. He doesn't have any clue. So he's just blaspheming his brother, period. He's not even, he doesn't know what he's done. You celebrating by filling the fattened calf. In this, this is proving that the older brother is just as lost. So his father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. So even if you are a good Christian, and you are doing that good walk, he's saying, look, you're good. You've been doing the good walk. You're the good person. You've been a great, wonderful person. But I want to save this person too, and this person too. So even if you are on that good streak, he's saying, look, you've always been there. This lost one came back. So you always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours, because he already gave him his two-thirds. So his son's out there saying, I'm toiling for you. And he's like, no, you're toiling for yourself. It's yours. I gave it to you. I'm just kind of hanging out at your house now. So anyways, so everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day. So his father turns around and says, for your brother, when Jesus is saying, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, your brothers, your sisters, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Which wraps it up. So I think part of this is on all sides of the fence. To the Pharisees and stuff, I believe he was trying to make the message, don't make it hard for the lost ones to come home. So in other words, the Pharisees are out there kicking and stopping and trying to get legal with Jesus at every corner. Don't make it hard for the lost ones to come home. I am the lost. Don't make it hard for me to come home. No matter what brother you are in the story, come home and rejoice in the Father's house together. So the moral would be Pharisees, sinners, all coming together in worship of God and in his house. So I would call this the man with two lost sons would be what I would call it. And I love that Jesus' parables, a lot of them end openly. So in other words, parables just make you think. Really quick, I'll go into a parable. Let's break down a parable. There's an occasion. The prodigal wants his stuff. That's the occasion. Has important characters or things. The father and two sons. So in this case, there's three people. You notice that God, when he does these things, he uses threes a lot, like the parable of the seeds. And he likes using threes. And so I think it's because there's kind of like a middle road, a high road, and a low road. And which one do you want to pick? So has important characters or things, the father, son. And what the most important part of it is what these characters directly say. So any parable you pretty much see with Jesus is breaking down what are these people saying, because it's a message from God to the people in what he says. This usually provokes thought of what characters we are and how we would handle the situation. So with that said, spending a little time in understanding, if we just looked at the prodigal son as a story, it would sound like a lost guy that found God and came home. But there's way more in that story than just that when you back it up. So if you guys would like to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day, your grace. I pray that the ears to hear and the eyes to see, that you gave them their meaning of this story, what they need to hear in this story today, Lord. Thank you for opening my eyes in this story. Lord, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus Christ's precious, holy, beautiful name. Amen.